Hi, I'm Oliver Berquez, co-founder of 40Fit, and welcome to the Brain, Brawn and Business podcast. It's a 4 at 4 series, which is a new feature I'm doing on the podcast where I get an expert guest on to offer 4 tips and advice in their specialist area at 4 p.m. Tips around business, fitness, mindset and performance. The episodes will be aired exclusively live on my social pages and my Brain, Brawn and Business Facebook group, with the podcast episode released a few days later. With the current coronavirus epidemic upon us and everyone having to isolate and work from home, now more than ever, it's important to look after your physical and mental health. And I want this podcast to support everyone to do that. Episode is coming up now, and I hope you all enjoy it. Hey, podcast community, welcome back to another episode of the Brain, Brawn and Business podcast. My guest today is Chris Knott. Chris is an experienced personal trainer, studying osteopathy, manual therapist, and an author of the book called The 5x5 Rule. This episode was all about improving your daily productivity, and we delved into a few areas just around breathing, tips to beat desk posture, foot and knee health, and work productivity. There's some simple but highly effective strategies we cover, which I think can really help at the moment in this current coronavirus epidemic we're in. Anyway, episode is coming up now with Chris, and I hope you all enjoy it.
Thanks for coming on.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So how are you anyway, first of all? How's life? How's things?
Yeah. It's one of them where when you say really good, you kind of, you don't know whether you should say that or not. But I think, you know, we just adapt and we just see what we can do. First couple of weeks were obviously a little bit, take some adjusting, but you know, people do adjust and we just find ways to overcome things. So definitely settled into a routine now and just cracking on.
Yeah, great, mate. And what are you doing at the moment, say, just for yourself, to stay on top of your, you know, your health, keep yourself just, I suppose, being productive every day? Because when you're serving people in terms of your job and what you're doing, it's important that you know, you're looking after Chris as well, aren't you, to be able to serve your clients.
Oh yeah, 100%. I was very fortunate where I made sure that wherever I live, I make sure that one of the first things I'll do is just set up a space where I can train. So I'll buy some plates, buy some bars, and buy some bits and bobs like kettlebells, so I can train at home in any circumstances. So the thing that's been, I've been very fortunate about to keep myself sane, is I've been able to train the exact same way I did. So in terms of my schedule, this thing hasn't had an effect on that. So it's about, you know, creating some form of environment or space where you have your own time and you look after yourself and try and replicate what you can. Obviously, that's not going to be the same for everyone who can't go into a gym, and it's not the easiest thing setting up your own home gym environment, especially after, you know, they changed all the prices of the kit and it takes long to come. But really, with myself, I've just been making sure I can train and just sticking to a routine, like regimented, just making sure that I'm doing it's ironclad, and that's helped me tremendously.
I think that routine and the daily habits, consistency there, I think is a huge thing right now. And I was on an interview, a shared podcast earlier this morning, and just chatting it through and getting a chat to a business owner whose fitness is important to him. So I think that daily routine, the consistent habits, is really important. It's, you know, because even though you can possibly find yourself with more time, when you are at home, you can relax and things might not get done. And if you haven't prepared your food, then you're just going to reach to whatever's in the fridge. And I think that when it can be more relaxed in your environment, I think you have to be even more disciplined to make sure you eat the right foods and you're staying on top of what you're doing. So, yeah, you mentioning that, it's I think it's really important.
Well, for some people, It's like, you know, that bit in between Christmas and New Year where it's just like no man's land, where it's like you don't know what day
yeah.
What this could be, and it can be if you don't have that focus. So, you know, the first 2 days when lockdown happened on a Friday, the first 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, I was a bit like all over the show, and then I just really just wrote this really regimented schedule, and it's worked. It's worked really well, and to the point where it's become enjoyable, and I feel very well prepared going for whatever however long this may need to last, and when it does come out the other side, and feel very prepared for that as well. And one thing I've started to do as well is dedicate a good amount of time for integrating like measures of what my business is going to look like, and what, you know, how it's going to change when we go forward. So that's been useful.
Yeah, really good, mate. And just because obviously, you know, you've been a fitness professional and stuff. Mm. Fitness is a part of what you do, so that's embedded in you. But I know that obviously people checking in, I don't know who would check in, but certainly when the podcast is released, I know the audience, there's a lot of business owners who will listen to it. What things are you finding and making, or if maybe you're doing it, or even you know that they're a benefit, if someone's listening, they can do for their sort of daily habits that might just, you know, just make a difference, you know, if it's an hour of training or meditation or whatever it may be, because that time for yourself is really important, I think, sharpening the saw, whatever you want to call it, to have an impact on your work in the other hours.
So what I would say with that is, yeah, I like kind of putting things into categories and things that will kind of potentiate other things. And what that basically means is that you're doing things which are going to give you a better chance of getting what needs to be done. So as rigid as it sounds, I'll have like things that I need to do that week that have to be done. And then that's broken down into things that need to be done that day. But then I'll also think about tasks that are going to make those tasks easier. So what that basically means is waking up at the same time, and then you have your good habits, like 5 minutes of breathing, meditation, and just visualizing and thinking about what this day looks like. And I think that the mistake you can make is wake up and then go straight for your phone and then your brain's constantly on. I think now you need to have that little bit, even if it's 5-10 minutes of just self-realization of like, right, okay, just what do I need to get done today? And that calming, like starting your day in a very, very calm manner rather than checking your WhatsApp and social media and seeing a million messages. I think that 5 minutes to just kind of say, just compose yourself, just really helps. And I've noticed because I was doing that beforehand anyway, but I've really noticed my temperament and my decision making is a lot better when I do it. And I noticed that it's not as much, my temperament and decision making isn't as good when the first thing I do is wake up, go for my phone, social media, messages, because it's so tempting because it seems like the highest priority. But I've found a really, really good work completion ratio from delaying any type of phone time. So, you know, coming down, make a drink, meditate, get to my computer, get to my laptop, and then have a set amount of work. So for me, it'd be like wake up at 4:30, go down, have a drink, and do 2 hours of work before 7 a.m., train 7 till 8:30, 8:30 till 9, breakfast, shower, and then it becomes start your working day again, either go back to do more work or go into doing the homeschooling, depending what day it is. So
yeah, how's that actually, because I'm an advocate as well of that. I mean, I'm an early riser, and early riser gets stuff done almost 2 hours before I let anything else entertain my day. You can try and you strike off a couple of important tasks that way. How do you find starting at 9, knowing you've got a workout behind you, you've done 2 hours of productive work? How's that sort of, what impact is having on you going into that from 9 o'clock?
Well, I think that, you know, I've been saying this quite a lot recently to people who, you know, either coaching or helping out, is that we usually set really, really lofty goals and lofty ambitions. But really the biggest motivator is always success. So when we don't succeed at something, we lose motivation. So it's like, how do you stay motivated? Well, it's success. And the reason why I say that is that when you feel like you've accomplished a lot by 9 o'clock, like you've done so much by 9 o'clock. I remember a really, really good like entrepreneur and businessman says your day should be completed by 8 a.m. And he was just like, you know, once you've got all that behind you, then they're like, they take the pressure off. And don't get me wrong, you're still going to work, but you're just working to a lesser extent. Because I do think that, you know, if we want to talk about biology, everybody's hormones are going to vary. But if we look at something like cortisol and our alert hormones, they spike in the morning, go up and then start to drop from midday. So really, if it makes sense, if you've got stuff that really urgently needs to be done, you do it with a primary importance early on. So, yeah. You know, having a workout, done 2 hours of work, done my emails by 9, you just feel great and it takes the pressure off. And then I see anything done after lunchtime is a bonus. It reduces the workload for the next day, and that's not so I don't have to do as much the next day. It's so I can then get more done and get ahead of myself, and that's where your task completion goes through the roof.
Yeah, I think because it's just natural, isn't it? Decision fatigue, it just chips away at you. You know, as you go through the day, that decision fatigue just tips away. Just chips away at you. And then, you know, by the evening, you know, if you've had to make a lot of decisions, because that's just natural. It's just everyone. I know, and by the evening, everyone's generally tired. I mean, some people I know are owls, not larks, which is fine. But you are naturally going to be better performing during the day, aren't you? And that's the thing. So, as earlier in the day, anyway. So, yeah. So, mate, that's great. But look, going on to 404. So, what'd be great is, could you share the four areas you're going to cover, and then just lead into the first one you want to go through?
Yeah, of course. So we got being in desk, higher volume of being in your desk and being more, you know, locked into a certain position. There's footwear and the feet. We could talk about that. Talk about that. Breathing is a really, really, really simple one. So it's just going to be desk posture, footwear, breathing, and then just a little productivity tip, which I've found really, really useful, which I'm sure many of you, if your listeners will have heard of before, but I just found it works so well when it came to task completion, which is the Pomodoro technique, which I'm sure you might have come across before, the tomato timer.
That'd be good. No, share, mate. That'd be great. So, yeah, first one, mate. Yeah, lead in.
So what I found was with myself, I had when I was when I'm on the gym floor, when I'm treating people, I'd be walking around quite a bit and, you know, I'd be on my feet. I'd be in different positions. I'd be walking around with the client or moving about. So it'd be fine. But because I've literally been in this very hunched over, shoulders forward at my laptop I probably guess anywhere between 5 and 7 hours a day at the moment, which is completely unlike me, but I do need to get this work done. And I really have struggled with my neck and my shoulders, and especially my right forearm on the outside from hovering my fingers over the mouse and the cursor. I could feel it, and when I'm in the you know, lifting some weights, I can really feel that elbow isn't as happy as it usually is. And what I've found is that having just those regular breaks is really, really essential. But it's also just having that time to like counteract the movement and work through and try and strengthen the areas which are essentially going to be really hunched over quite a bit. And as simple as it is, really, really simple, it's just doing the opposing movement and just helping your neck and just open up your chest and then just kind of bringing your arms back and then just breathing in that sense, just doing the counteraction of the movement regularly. So every time you've done like a certain chunk or you look at the time, you'll get up and move. And I would never recommend anybody go more than 20, 25 minutes in one stint, and having a timer. So that probably ties in the last tip I was going to say, but make sure there's a timer so you can't sit in one position without a reminder to do something. Even if it's just walk to the kitchen, get a glass of water, walk back, even if it's walking to the toilet, even if it's just doing something, but staying fixed in that position, you do, I think, just get drawn further and further and further, and eventually that neck ache builds up. So you just need to remind yourself. The thing as well with the arm and the forearm is, if you've got any type of dumbbell, if you've got any type of weight, you know, anything with a bit of significant weight, it's just twisting your wrist as much as you can, and even doing a stretch where you can stretch your wrist either forward and backwards. So like you're holding a bowl of soup and twisting it more into that position very gently, and then going back and forward, because that twisting of the wrist is so important. And when we're hovering over a mouse or a cursor, we'll get this forearm pain that can eventually lead to elbow or tricep pain, which can lead to shoulder pain. So just moving, just never forget. You know, never let a certain period of time go without moving about.
And Chris, I'll just change the screen.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, now just a bit wider. Yeah. Can you just demonstrate the movements again?
It's this part here. Now, if you want to get a little bit technical, if people are on the outside of the forearm and then you just wiggle your fingers about, you'll see how these like stringy muscles move about. Now, these muscles, when they get locked up, they reduce the amount of range of motion in the shoulder, but indirectly, but just through loads of different connections in the muscle. And I've had loads of people come to me and they'll have neck pain. Office workers, they'll have shoulder and neck pain, and then I'll go around this area and push down and just say, "How does that feel?" And they'll hit the roof like, "That is so sore." If you think about it, if I was to get you to sit against a wall with no chair and do one of those horrible wall sits, you would say to me, oh, my quads are absolutely burning. That really, really hurts. Essentially, when we're hovering our fingers over a mouse or over a keyboard and we're doing the cursor, that's like an isometric. So that's like a constant muscle contraction in this forearm muscle here. And what that does is eventually we lose our ability to rotate and twist the wrist. So if specifically for this muscle here, if we have our palm facing towards us and twist it a little bit more, so our little finger is going towards our elbow crease and we twist it, that just opens it up and stretches that. So really this wrist mobility is so important for helping these muscles, because that's going to impact our elbow, which can go into our shoulder, which can go into our neck. And I'm fortunate, I've got a massage gun, I've got trigger point balls. But honestly, look after these forearm muscles, because if you're at a desk a lot of the time, when they start to hurt, you're going to start to get wrist and shoulder pain. So regularly at the end of each day, I would definitely recommend either a self-massage or using some sort of self-application therapy, because manage that, because if you're going to be working at your desk all the time, that'll creep up on you. And if we don't have access, we don't know how long we're going to have access to manual therapists, how long it's going to be until we can see manual therapists again. You don't want to be causing issues which are going to reduce your ability to work at your desk, because the last thing you want is to be sat at your desk trying to work and your elbow and your wrist are niggling. Mm.
Yeah, great, mate. Really good. Go back into that screen there. Cool, mate. So there anything else around the back and neck and the wrist there? Do you want to go on to?
Just moving it. I mean, if you think about it, the way joints work is they have a capability based on the way they're built. So if we think about, people would be pretty familiar with vertebrae and spinal bones and spinal column, is that this spinal column can twist, it can go up and down, it can go, but we're just basically head forward and like that. And that's going to get this massive buildup of tension. So really when it comes to, we're only working one range, which is head forward and extended up like this. And that's going to put a load of compression on the back of the skull. So if you're getting headaches, it's because you're basically crushing either these nerves, these arteries, these veins, all this very important muscle, bodily kind of tissue at the back of the head. So even if it's just tucking your chin and making your head really, really long and then just turning from side to side, even that as an exercise, doing that regularly, probably best with your eyes closed so you don't get dizzy. Doing that in regular intervals, it will make a big difference. So that would be just tuck your chin. Imagine somebody's got like a little bit of like a string that's going through your spine, and they've made you really tall with your chin down, and just look from side to side very gently, just going and just doing circles with your neck and moving around. Because if we don't access range of motion, it is use it or lose it. And once we lose it, it becomes harder and harder to gain back. So, these things with the forearms and the wrist, these things with the neck, just moving about, it does make a big difference. So make sure that every 20, 25 minutes you are doing these things, you're walking about, you're just having these couple minutes to move your body. Because otherwise, I do think it can really build up and cause some issues.
Yeah, brilliant, mate. Great. Do you want to go on to breathing next?
Yeah, so breathing is obviously subconscious. We it's not something we'll think about, but breathing has a huge impact on not just our like biomechanical system, not just our body and the way we move, but it has a massive impact on our central nervous system as well. And what that basically means is if we breathe in a way through our mouth specifically for long periods of time, we can, there's the possibility that we'll increase the likelihood of our body becoming overly stressed very, very, very minutely. And I'm talking minutely, but it's like that Chinese water torture with the drips, is that eventually these things will add up. So if you're having neck pain and you're breathing through your mouth constantly, what can happen is you can get overloaded in the jaw muscles, and that can impact the muscles here. These can get rock solid, and then we have this really tight, horrible junction around the neck, and this neck pain won't go away. So the way we counteract that is we learn to breathe through our nose. and breathing through our nose and being able to think about using our diaphragm, which is our breathing muscle, properly is really, really going to help us as well, just because it's taking the pressure off this neck region. It's taking the emphasis away. So one of the best things to do for that would be just to lie on your back and close your mouth. Imagine your head is really long again, so tucking the chin and making your spine as long as you possibly can, placing your hand on your just underneath your chest, so on your rib cage, and then just inhaling. And imagine not that you, not just the front of your rib cage, but I want to imagine basically from your neck down to your hips up, so where your bony bit of your hip, from the neck down to the hip up, I want you to imagine that entire unit is expanding, and then it's just gently going back to its returning position. And you're just trying to fill everything, every section of that. And you can help to do it with your eyes closed, but you're trying to fill every single part of that whilst just breathing gently. And it does help if you can lie down on the floor on your back with your feet elevated, because that helps put the hips in a better position. And you're just trying to imagine this balloon is inflating, and you can do 5 seconds. Well, I'd recommend it 3 to 4 seconds breathing in, just inflating, then 3 to 4 seconds just gently letting the air go out again through the nose. And that that can help regulate the nervous system, so bring you into a more relaxed state. So it's very, very good to do before bed, especially if you have had a very high octane day. But again, this can be done in those little intervals, so it then becomes a little circuit. So every half an hour, you're doing some wrist rotations, you're doing some flexion extensions, you're bending the wrist, you're moving it about. You're then going to go into moving the neck around, just doing some mobility for the neck. And then you're going to do 10 to 20 breaths. Then after your 5 minute break, you go back to your desk. And I think that this is so, so easy to overlook that as that little circuit, because I don't need it. But I do really think that you'll, if you got to think of it like this, people get deterred from prehab because they don't see any effects, because it's not immediate rewards, because we say, oh, well, I'm not injured. However, if you get injured and you're getting these pains and you're getting these issues with your neck and your shoulders and your wrists, then you have to do rehab, which is trying to get yourself out of pain. What I'm saying is, by doing these drills, you're making sure this pain never has the opportunity to show up, which is then going to help you work uninterrupted within your allotted times, so you're more efficient and get more work done. But the last thing you want is having to wake up thinking, I've got 8 hours at my desk and my neck and my wrist is killing me. So diligence and committing to it, I really, really do think it will pay off.
Yeah, and also, I think it's brilliant. And also think as well, Chris, that, you know, just taking even like that 5 minutes every hour, half hour, like you said, half hour, or just that little bit of time away or relaxation or going walk, get some fresh air.
Yeah.
People think they can't have the breaks, but the gaps, the breaks, I think makes you more productive when you get back to it. I know that, you know, if you're in a task, you should focus on that task, maybe try and complete it to not lose flow. But I do think that actually break the cycle, get up, come back. I think it re-energizes, refocuses you for the day as well. So yeah, huge advocate of breaks.
So one of the things I'm doing at the moment is recording quite a lot of presentations and lectures for people online. And if you're in a flow state where things are flowing really, really well, then stay in it. But one thing I can say is I recorded an hour and a half video on Tuesday, just in one take, just went wham, just started and just went through, and it flowed really well. I was really, really happy with the end product. But afterwards, my neck was killing me, like really was. Like I had neck pain, and I'm fortunate where I can do these movements and I know exactly what's going to improve it. But you know, if you're somebody who isn't aware of this, I think it would be very, very counterproductive for what you need to get done. So yeah, but the breaks are essential. Is that you just, unless you have something that needs to be done, because it's either a live video, if it's just work, half an hour definitely, on the hour is a must. Just on the hour, just 5 minutes to yourself, just to move about.
Yeah, brilliant, mate. Great stuff. What about so like foot and knee health, mate? Have you what was your some tips around that?
So One of the issues a lot of my online clients have been sending saying is I'm getting like pain in my foot, my ankles and my knees. And one of the reasons is that a lot of people will have increased the walking volume. I had one client who messaged me initially and said, I have this pain in my ankle, which won't go away. And I was thinking, oh, right, okay, wonder what that is. And then I got his check-in sheet and he'd done 30,000 steps in one day. I was like, well, that's why it hurts. Because, you know, we are going to be doing a lot more walking volume. But, you know, if you're somebody who has had knee pain or ankle pain in the gym doing squats, deadlifts, leg extensions, leg press, if you've had any of that, what I'd say the best thing to do now is to spend as much time as possible barefoot at home. When you're walking around, now obviously not when you're going out on outside, but if you're going to go outside, have very very thin shoes, and if you walk around the house barefoot, no socks either, because we really need to resensitize our feet to tactile sensations, which basically means their ability to understand different textures and surfaces, because that really really helps muscles in our feet get strong, which helps manage the joints, which helps with knee and ankle pain. So if you do have niggly issues in the knees and the feet, one of the things you can do from a holistic perspective is just to spend more time barefoot, which if you were at your office, you obviously wouldn't be able to do that because you need shoes and socks on. But now your home is your office, you can spend more time. And even, you know, if we were talking about this perfect like theoretical circuit of doing the breathing, doing the neck movements, doing the wrist movements, just standing on one foot, like literally 10 seconds per side barefoot, just moving, just either trying to move slightly, or if your balance is poor, just standing on one foot, you're giving stimulus to areas which, if you think about it, probably never get that attention. You know, if we're putting ourselves into socks, then shoes, then walking to work or driving to work, and then we're hunched over a desk and we're doing, you know, for 8 hours a day, we never think about this. But because we're now in control of our environment for working at home, these things can get more attention. Now, I'll be honest with you, when everything does go back to a version of normality, we're not going to be focused on this again. You know, it's not like you're going to be in the office, take your shoes and socks off and do your breathing drills. So now's the time to really maximize it.
Yeah, brilliant, mate. Really good. Really good. It's interesting that with the bare feet, it's a really good tip, mate. Very good. So with just checking actually now, mate, whilst you have a break, see if anyone had... We've had a few check-ins, if anyone had sent any comments. No, not yet so far. No comments. But it's interesting that, mate. Have you found that that's helped you? Have you just doing some walking bare feet at home, getting back to that? Has that sort of been a help to you yourself?
Yeah, well, I've been doing it for quite a while in terms of the footwear that I've used. I've used very, very thin soles for a couple of years now. But yeah, when the sun was, when we had that like 2-3 week bout of great weather, literally didn't put any socks on for a few days, like maybe a week or so. I was just constantly in the garden, walking around, and I generally got quite a good body awareness of knowing when I need to back off. But I do think that you just feel a lot more grounded. And all I can say is just improving your ability to stand on one foot and move on one foot in a barefoot scenario is always going to be a positive for ankle, knee and hip pain. It's something that you definitely want to improve. So it's one of those, it's a no brainer. It's like, if you can do it and in the situation, I definitely recommend it. So yeah.
Brilliant, mate. Really good. Great. Well, and obviously, so going on to the last one was around work productivity. The, are you going to sort of share that?
Yeah, so with that one, I've been like playing around with this thing for a bit, and I had a university assignment that needed to get in, and my motivation to do it was pretty low, if I'm honest, just because of it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it was in tandem with having to try and sort out a new system for online training with clients, so that took a priority. But what I found was using this Pomodoro technique, which just is the tomato timer, which is where you do 25 minutes on, 5 minutes off, and then just repeat that. And then that came into like, I saw it as like little chunks. So then I'd set targets for the day. So my goal would be, right, I'm going to do 6 chunks today of this task. But then it didn't seem so intimidating, because if I say to anyone, right, you have 6 hours to do something, I guarantee that three or four of those hours are going to be procrastination and messing around, checking emails, checking social media. I think that urgency increases.
100%.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, if you've got a deadline, which is tomorrow, you're going to do it. So what I found was is that it was motivating, because I'd be writing like this essay and then researching these papers, and I'd check the timer dead quick and I'd be like, oh shit, I've got 5 minutes to go. So I'd be really kind of like, because I knew that I was going to have to break that flow state or that concentration, I did work better. And to be honest, it worked really, really well. And that kind of idea of getting through chunks and achieving something, because I did 6 today, and I know I did 7 today, and I did 8 today, and then lo and behold, it got done quite quick. But the great thing about that is that then in this 5 minute break, you can do all the things I've just spoken about. So you're breathing, you're moving, your neck stretches, and your wrist mobility. I just found that making sure that there was a deadline for work, a very, very, very minute deadline, and then repeating that improved. You can just type in tomato timer, and it's just a website, and you can start the timer. It's 25 minutes. Now, if there's anything scientifically relevant about 25 minutes, I don't think so. But, you know, if 25 minutes, then 5 minutes is half an hour chunks, and, you know, that helps a day.
But even if it's not the 25, it's brilliant. I mean, you know, even if it's not the 25 minutes, but just that, some accountability. And like you said, there's some urgency there, you know, right? 25 minutes, you've got to be very, very efficient with your tasks. And if you're going to block out 25 minutes across the day, you know, I mean, I always say to clients all the time, you know, if use a journal or use something you're going to log your goals in and track your days, do that the night before. So if you're mapping out your day the night before, putting in those 25 minutes, you know, like if I've got 6 25-minute I can commit, then you can prioritize what's in on those tasks. And then, like you say, you're going to, that sort of accountability and urgency will make you nail them with real precision, you know. And so, I think I'm a huge advocate of that, you know, like you said, maybe not whether the timings are, but 25 on, 5 off. Mm-hmm. And I think that it can certainly make you more productive and efficient.
Mm. And it makes those things. So if you can't check your email, or you can't check any social media, or you can't check your phone, it then increases the kind of novelty of doing that. So for me, what I was saying is that, right, okay, I'm not going to check anything until not the first time, not the second, not the third, but the fourth. So I need to do 4 lots of 25 before I can get like a mini reward, which is, you know, just checking something, or, you know, going on Sky Sports News, or going on Facebook, or going whatever. Because I think that we are drawn to things that help numb our mind. So that kind of action of scrolling is like the caveman version of just watching a fire, of just like staring at something. We're not actually looking for the info. It's just like, that's interesting. And it is rewarding in a sense, because you're finding information which might be useful, but we don't actually get anything from it, but there's a reward response in our brain. So I found that I've worked a lot better if I completely remove that, because if I could just go on anything at any time, then, you know, you do. And then suddenly you've been sat at your desk for 3 hours, but you haven't done anything.
So. Yeah, I think actually, you know, 25 minutes, not yourself, go on social media. I think that's a huge thing, or things that can break your flow. Yeah. Because just that quick check of the phone can actually, it might just be 30 seconds, but it might be 3. I think I'm interested to see what science says on that, but it might be 4 or 5 minutes before you're back in flow properly. So you add that up over the course of the day, you're losing a lot of, you know, you're losing over an hour, you know, or if not more. So, yeah.
And so there's one final one, which I just remembered, which is absolutely, I'd actually say it's my most the best tip I'd say for anybody wanting to concentrate is headphones. So use headphones, go on YouTube and any type of binaural beats. I accidentally came across these quite a few years ago, but there's one specifically which I use. Which is, it's called Study Music Alpha Waves, and it's relaxing studying music. And basically the idea behind that was, where have you gone? The idea behind that one was I went through a phase of just getting really, really into the brain and how it works, and you know, not to any form of you know, scientific level, but just reading books, listening to audio books, and then reading a few things. And they're saying about we have different frequencies which are suited to better tasks, and it's going delta waves, and then theta waves, and then alpha and beta, and then gamma. And these waves, when we're in a certain frequency, they promote a certain type of thinking style and environment psychologically and mentally. And if you're in a gym, or if you've just had a coffee and you're listening to something which is very, very stimulating, if you're watching like an action film, you're going to be more towards beta brain waves. And, you know, if it gets to a certain point, it could be gamma brain waves. But then they say that if you want to concentrate and creativity, so concentration and creativity is you want to be in an alpha brainwave state. And the way it works, and the reason why the headphones are really important, is because you have one level of frequency going in one ear and then another at the other. So you might have, say you want to be in a frequency of 10 hertz, you could have 8 going in one ear and 12 the other. And apparently this is how it works, is that your brain then levels the frequency and puts you into a certain state. And whether that is an absolute load of nonsense, I don't know. But anecdotally, the alpha waves music, and the specific one that I use over and over and over again, is called Study Music Alpha Waves. And it's like this blue mannequin with loads of light streams coming out the top of its head as the main pitch.
Has it helped you when you've done your tasks? And
they literally put it in, and then the world is there's nothing else going in.
It's good, mate. I'll have a look. I'll have a check of that. It's really good. Yeah, I find music can be a trigger. I mean, something which I've had to work really hard on is just focusing on, you know, it's like when you're in business or stuff, or you have different businesses and you have to balance certain stuff. I love that. I like the business of that. And something I've had to work really hard on maybe the last year, 2 years, is focusing on that one task, you know, one thing. So, yeah, you know, it's, I suppose, entrepreneurship when you've got, you know, three or four businesses or three or four things or five things going on. It's still making sure that you're precise with the times you spend on each task or each business and stuff. So something which has been really important to me is trying to focus that time on that. So, you know, you talking about this sort of 25 on, 5 off, for me, I look at sort of task. I've been looking at task management rather than sort of time management, you know. So managing tasks I need in the day, but within a time frame. So rather than going, X amount of time, here's your diary for time, you know, 5 o'clock, it's this, 7 o'clock, it's that. There's the task. How long does it take? Block it in. So trying to manage my task rather than my time. So little things like that, I think might certainly worth a try might help. Because sometimes I like the music, the trigger of music, you know. Music's quite a good trigger. But you wonder how much that takes you off course when you've got music going on. Sometimes it can trigger positivity to work if you're getting something done.
It's just different sensations, and like whether it's scientifically sound, I don't know. But what I've found is that I get up in the morning, get my laptop, and then I'll put that music in. The second that music comes in, whether it's just purely by association, it's like right now I'm in that setup where I'm ready to go. So I've got my water, got my coffee, got the music, and then it's just boom, off we go.
Yeah, brilliant, mate. Really good. So yeah, great stuff, mate. So if anyone wants to connect with you, Chris, how can they find you? How can they connect? Could you just share, obviously your book, it's gone really well, mate. And just maybe share your book, what you've got going on, how people can connect, and always leave things in the show notes anyway for those that obviously listen to this podcast.
We've got a podcast myself. That's a lot of fun. That's getting up to 135 episodes now of that. So that's all just about like nutrition, mainly about like training and movement, and some, you know, different guests going on, loads of different things. So there's a podcast, quite regular with both Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. So all those three platforms, you know, weekly or information going out on there. Started to get more into the YouTube side of things because I think the visual tutorials help people for certain exercises. So that's with, obviously, you know, Jay, business partner. We've got the Reborn to Transform outlet on YouTube with all that type of thing. So yeah, the other one would be the book. Yeah, the book's called The 5x5 Rule. That's for anybody who's in the fitness industry who wants to know more about structuring their business from financial set point, and then growth and trying to aim for year-on-year development. And it's really about aiming for longevity. And the reason why it's called The 5x5 Rule, it's like the power of increasing your rates by 5% over 5 years. And what you need to be doing to do that, because even though that doesn't sound too sexy, and in 5 years time you probably you know, it's like, if you do the maths, you start off at £30 and you finish at £48, which is a significant increase if you can do it consistently whilst pleasing your client base, whilst growing as a trainer. So that one, that's about, that was the book was on Amazon for £25, but because of the current climate and because of what's going on, it's actually 50% off right now for trainers, because I'd really love a lot of people to read it, because I do generally think it'll help them rethink their approach to business. And if you think about it, whenever we do go back, whether it's June, whether it's July, whether it's later than that, that is like day one of a new year and a new phase. So really my message for personal trainers now is you should be writing a business model now to really account for what's realistic when you go back, because it's the perfect time.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. I hope you enjoyed it and got value. Please share it with anyone else that you think would get benefit. And if you did enjoy it, then please head over to the platform you listened on and leave us a 5-star review, as it will help to reach more people, and something which we're hugely passionate about with this podcast. You can also subscribe to the episodes so you receive them as soon as they're released. And if you're looking for a deeper level of support around your fitness, business, mindset, and performance, and then I'd love you to be a part of a private community Brain Brawn and Business Facebook and WhatsApp groups I've got set up. Just search Brain Brawn and Business on Facebook, or follow the WhatsApp link in the show notes of the podcast. Once again, thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. And remember, the good lifestyle you keep is better than the perfect one you don't.